And care groups are going to start up very soon. Exciting, exciting times. So I'll go ahead and I'll pray, and we'll go ahead and begin our time, and look forward to having a wonderful hour of fellowship together. Let's pray. God, you're gracious, you're kind, you're merciful. We celebrate you. We are so blessed to be at a church where there is such a high view of who you are. There's such a lofty and high view of your word, the gospel, the glorious truths that have saved us, and the promises that we now get to grab hold of as believers as we continue to learn more and more about you. We thank you for being at a church where there is an equipping hour, a time where we can actually interact and talk a little bit more about the details of life and how we can continue to grow in our walks, grow in our faith. We thank you for the vehicle of care group ministry that it has provided, that it can be a time and a gathering for us to be edified and built up. We live in a world that continues and sometimes successfully can beat us down and challenge us in every way. And what a gift it is to have precious brothers and sisters of like-mindedness and true, genuine, saving faith to link arms with. And so we just praise you for that. We ask that your spirit would be active and just guiding our time, illuminating our path as we consider how we can have our hearts most prepared for the relaunch of Care Group. We again are so thankful that you would give us this time. We love you and praise you. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, it was several months ago that we launched the discipleship counseling track of Equipping Hour that started during second hour for a church. And as it relates to discipleship counseling, it's true that you never really run out of topics because there are so many different things that are taking place in the world, so many different issues that need to be addressed. There are a lot of things to cover. And I thought it would be good just to kind of highlight and feature what we've covered so far. We've had the opportunity to learn about peacemaking. We addressed worry and anxiety, burnout, parenting, birth control, homosexuality, and anger. All these sessions have been recorded. And so if you're new to our church, you can go onto our church website. You can hear if all those past recordings. And if you're one of our members and you're like, hey, I didn't know we had already covered that. No way. Well, don't worry. It's recorded. You can go back and check it out if you missed it. I believe the only session that requires a special link is the session that we did on birth control. And if you connect with Huey, he'll go ahead and let you know how you can be connected to that resource. As far as what we're going to cover in the future, we're currently putting together our Equipping Hour teaching schedule, and there's a way that you can help us. Over there is our Discipleship for Life resource table. And on that table, not only are there booklets that provide guidance and direction, counseling booklets that can help you in a specific area, but there's the entire list that's put out, and I was trying to think of that ministry that puts those out. Remember the name, Sam? I can't remember. It doesn't. Yeah, see, it might be CCF. Well, whoever it is, there's literally like over 100 different booklets. And so and I think when we set this table up and we launched it at Easter time of this year, was it like 25 booklets maybe that we started with that we thought would really be a blessing to the church? But there are dozens and dozens more. And so that is the comprehensive list that's over there at the table. If you would like to, you can go over and look at that list. And if there's something that interests you and that you would like the church to pick up so that you can have access to that booklet, just go ahead and put a check right by it, and we'll go ahead and try to pick up that resource for you. Also, this will really be a blessing for us because as an elder team, if we notice like 15 checks by one thing, we may just want to go ahead and spend some time on an equipping hour teaching on that and putting it at the table so you can really bless us in that way. Well, as many of you already know, our care groups are going to be starting up this month. And after taking the summer off, and with the First Thessalonians Bible study coming to a conclusion on Thursday, it's about to start. Care group ministry is about to start. And I was thinking about something that would just kind of encourage us as it related to the start. And I was like thinking. And you know what I thought of? The Indianapolis Motor Speedway. You're like, what? Yeah. I had the chance, because Purdue was just an hour north of Indianapolis, to go to the time trials for the Indy 500. And then the Brickyard is the NASCAR version, the loud version of the race that takes place there. But I got a chance to go to the Indy 500. And there's a tradition that has started at the Indy 500 and has also translated to other racetracks. And at the beginning of the race, the official of the race says something. And we'll see if you know what it is. Ladies and gentlemen, start your engines. Yeah, that's what they say. They make this announcement. And so if you can imagine being a race car driver and you went to start your engine and it didn't start, that probably wouldn't be a very good indication for you, right? And that actually happens. Sometimes engines don't fire up and they have to delay the start of the race till they get everyone started. And so I thought it would be good for us to do something that officially gets our care group engines started. And so the goal of our time is going to have us consider how we can prepare our hearts for care group ministry. I thought this would be good too, because we do have a couple people that are joining us that are new. Not everybody knows who our care group leaders are. And so to put a name with a face and a location, if I can, I just want to ask our care leaders to stand up when I read off your name so that the people can see you. The Cerritos Care Group is led by Albert Lowe, and he is in... Where's Albert? Is he here? No, he had to leave. So we're going to have to get pictures on the website so that we can... you can always go to the website, but Albert Lowe is, and their care group, I think, is continuing to meet on Thursdays, right? Okay, because we were also a Thursday night care group. Placentia Care Group is led by Huey Dang, and Huey's right there in the back. All right, we got some Placentia members here. Seal Beach Care Group. I actually had the privilege, tremendous, tremendous blessing and privilege of leading that care group last year. But now with the baby coming, this is one of the changes that's been made and was alluded to when we had our last family time. And so we actually have a triad of leadership, okay? And so Jonathan Lynn, Brian Kang, and Jeff Tan are going to be the tri-leaders. They're going to try it. No, see how it goes. They're going to be the tri leaders of Seal Beach. And so we're excited about that. I rejoice, personally thankful for those men, for their willingness to step up. And we will be blessed, I know. And they have been so faithful to our care group. And I'm excited for us. Victoria and I still plan on being members of that care group. Just in case anyone's curious. Finally, we have, or not finally, but there's two more. Yoruba Linda is led by Jeremy Yang. Jeremy is right there. So thankful for Jeremy. And then the Orange Care Group is led by Adam Bacanas and Ben Liao. So where are Adam and Ben? They got a duality. There's Ben, and Adam is probably somewhere. So there's a duality of leadership there. And so these care groups and their respective leaders, they're actually listed. We know this in the bulletin every week, and they're also available on the church website. Well, before we get into any of the smaller details of care group, I thought it would be good for us to consider the big picture of care groups and why they exist. I've mentioned this before. They are the primary discipleship ministry of our church. That's what they're intended for. And as our website shares, care groups are our main avenue for fellowship and practicing the one another's of Scripture. They meet in various members' homes for the purpose of studying God's Word, prayer, and accountability. When we first began our discipleship counseling track, I can't remember what month that was, but it doesn't matter. We provided basically some foundational messages. Huey taught the first few of them just on the theological significance of discipleship and counseling. And I had the opportunity to do one of those earlier sessions, and it was entitled, How Do People Change? And we considered and spent time looking at and answering that question. And we did it, I provided an exhaustive, what I hope was an exhaustive answer to that question, how we change according to God's sovereign plan. And his sovereign plan relies heavily upon discipleship. Allow me to read the answer for us. And this should be on your sheet. Is it on there? Okay. The one and only sovereign God of the Bible uses the Spirit of God plus the gospel of God plus the Word of God plus the people of God plus God-ordained trials specific to a person's life to change humble, teachable, and responsible disciples of Christ. And then I added this last part because I don't think that it was in, all for his glory. We put that, that might be one edit that wasn't in there the last time. It was so interesting that when I went back through and I read that, how it just drew my attention to the fact that ministry and care group includes all of this dynamic right here on how we change, how we progress in Christ, a pillar of our church, progressing in evangelism and discipleship. That every single aspect, not just in part of that answer, but the entire answer is related to care group. We want our time in care group to be Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. Amen? You can give me some amens. We got to get this Baptist thing going in. Amen! All right? You had to listen to me quietly for an hour. Come on, let's hear some other voices. We want to celebrate the gospel and the deep, rich, abiding fellowship that we have as a church family in our care group. Amen? Amen. We want to use the Word of God so that the full counsel of God's Word is brought to bear on our lives. Amen? We need each other, the people of God, to help us to learn and grow and to help us see our spiritual blind spots. Amen? We will be able to bear one another's burdens as we share the specific trials. Specific always gives me trouble. That word, that we're going to go through and we can seek counsel and encouragement from our brothers and sisters. Amen? And all of this is so that we can change, so that we can literally be transformed, metamorphomai, not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's we learn about all these things, and that is going to help us to be transformed. What does change require on your part? Yes, all the previous things are factored in, but what specifically is required on your part? They are the three vital virtues of discipleship, and they're also included. Humility, teachability, and responsibility. All right, let's have some fun together. You need to be sitting next to somebody in order to do this. So if you're flying solo, Jeff, come on, man. You gotta find somebody to sit next to because you. We're gonna have some fun together. Did you know that when people come to church, that they typically sit with someone that they deeply care about? You know, they do that. That's proverbially true. That doesn't happen in every instance, especially if you come to church and you got seated by an usher and sat down by a perfect stranger. But typically, we tend to. We're with family, we're with other believers, and in some instances people come alone because there are no believers in their family, so they connect with somebody in their care group, somebody that is investing in their life that they can connect with. So, now I need you to do something. You're going to sit next to somebody, and you're going to turn and face that person, and one person is going to be the speaker, and one person is going to be the listener. Okay? We got that? We're tracking with it? One person's going to be the speaker. One person's going to be the listener. And for those who will be speaking first, now I want you to just look at the person listening. Oh, well, let's decide first. You got to decide amongst yourself who's going to be the speaker. And okay? Make sure you know who's speaking first and who's listening. Mess this whole thing up. All right, we got it figured out. Yeah. And if it's your spouse, that's even better. Okay. You decide who's going to speak first. Now I want the person who's doing the speaking to repeat after me. Hello. Okay, a greeting's always good. May I ask you a question? Okay, look at them, okay? This is engaging. You're not having the conversation with me. This is, you guys are having it together, okay? We're pretending here. You've gotten permission, and hopefully they said yes, okay? Now you're going to ask them and repeat after me. Am I humble, teachable, and responsible? Go ahead. Just go ahead, repeat it. Look at that person. Now, person who just heard, okay? Don't respond yet. Okay, I said this is a warm-up for care group. Okay, we don't need any volcanic eruptions, any fireworks in the church right now. But I need you to just seriously. My listeners, I want you to sit there. I want you to continue to look at that person. And I want you to think about the reality that if you were going to provide that answer to that person, what would you say? Think, just think. How might God use you to bless that person with your answer? What would you say? If it's somebody that you know well, then there are probably a lot of things that you'd be able to share. If it's your spouse, this is especially going to be true. If it's somebody that you don't know so well, then it's going to take a little bit of effort. It's going to take getting to know them just a little bit better. Again, don't say anything. My reason for doing this exercise is because this is the environment. This is the spiritual environment that we want to cultivate in care group. That we want to have an opportunity to ask people hard questions and then be in a place where we can receive answers to those questions. And that we would be humble, that we would be teachable, and that we would be responsible. And I think we're all aware that there's a level of vulnerability that comes with this, right? But here's the thing about it. It's mutual. It's reciprocated. It's done in a spirit of love. Lord Jesus Christ, John 13:35, they will know that you are my disciples
by the love that you have for one another. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Deceitful are the kisses of the enemy. Proverbs 27:6. And so how do we do this practically? What does this look like? Well, you'll notice on your sheet that I put some information down there for you. This is where the four essential elements of care group ministry come into play. And I was thinking about the aspects of a discipleship relationship, of discipleship relationships, and how they have blessed me over the years. And these were the elements that, honestly, as I was just meditating on it, I was also looking back to having led care group. I don't think that I would be the guy had I not had that experience. And I thank you, Jonathan, for affording me that opportunity and for the elders of our church encouraging me to take it, because it allows me to relate to the care group leaders now at a personal level. There is a weight, there is a responsibility that comes with it. But as I was thinking about what are the key elements, essential elements that we want to exist in a care group. And this is by no means an exhaustive list. But since this is a warm-up, I believe that they'll provide a good start for us. The first element of care group that we want to cultivate is transparency. And I went ahead and put a definition down, standard definition, Merriam-Webster, that's on there. First definition is a picture, as on a film, viewed by light shining through it or by projection. The quality or state of being transparent. So think about this for a moment. You heard that word, transparency, or transparent, being transparent. What is the first thing that comes to mind when you think about that word? Open? Seeing through? Really good, Cindy. Called her Kathy for like two consecutive weeks. So she's like, I'm Cindy. Some people wouldn't correct. I'm so grateful that you would. Yeah. I love that. Honesty. What's the first word that you think of when you think of transparency? Just in general. It can just, maybe it's light. Confession. What's it? Vulnerable. Being real. Like that, James. Real. We shared in our care group, and we talked about it. I shared this at the men's CBC leadership training. Real stands for revealing every aspect of lust. That's being real. Any other words come to mind? Window. Thank you, Tom. Engineer going just back to a physical object. Window. Son. Film. No, I'm just saying. Allow me to shepherd you, if you'll allow me, just for a moment. When you hear the word transparency, the first thing that you and I need to think of is our heart. The very first thing that should come to mind, and this is, I'm telling you, as care group leaders, this is what we want to cultivate. This is what we want us to identify with. We want to think about the condition of our heart. Where is our heart? And truth be told, I think just as it relates to the history, and I know that there was at one time there were flock groups, and then it went to care groups, and there was a transition. It was about caring, right? Caring for, having the opportunity to care for people. Certainly a reflection of the heart. So I think even just going back to the original foundation, and I know I don't have a full perspective on it, but it's about the heart. When you hear transparency, the first thing that should come to mind is your heart, not your spouse's heart, not somebody else's in the care group, not their heart, your heart, my heart. That's what needs to be the focus. And it's so fitting that God's word and the Lord Jesus Christ are often referred to as lights. Psalm 119:105, familiar text. Thy word is a lamp, right, unto my feet, and a light unto my path. The Lord Jesus Christ in John 8:12 even says, I am what? I am the light of the world. And then, of course, he is the word that became flesh. Okay? His life is light. God is light. We learned in 1 John, in him there is no darkness. So studying God's word is critical for us to cultivate transparency. Listen, let me say that again, just in case you missed it. Studying God's word is absolutely critical for us to cultivate transparency. It is. And by God's grace and in his goodness, we're going to study the book of Romans. What a blessing. What a theologically rich and very practical book for us to begin with. Question for you. How prepared are you right now to dive in? What is your personal study of Romans going to look like? How is God going to use the spotlight of his grace and truth to shine into your heart, directly into your heart, so that you can see what's there? What gems of truth from Romans are going to bless you the most? How will the people in your care group be blessed by your personal study of Romans? Now is the time to start the engine. Yes, it is now. As we prepare, now is the time. I think that there's, and I just be candid. And this has been true in my life in the past too, and just in even in my church experience, sometimes we can be so dependent upon just being listening to the teaching, right? Receiving the teaching. We get filled up and somebody else studied, and then we get the blessing and the overflow of their cup, right? And we get to drink richly from that. But what would happen if care groups and everybody makes a commitment to studying the word of truth and the grace, and if everyone's cup is overflowing? Wow! Could we even possibly, I mean, think about just even the reality of trying to drink that all in. It will be so rich. It will be so wonderful. I just want you now, as it relates to us starting in just a matter of a few weeks. Yeah, your care group leader, and in some instances, care group leaders, and at least in my care group, they're gonna set up and then carry the weight, the primary responsibility of preparing study guide and or the teaching time and the interaction time. But how much are you contributing? Or how much are you going to be ready to contribute to that process? Those of us who have led care group have experienced this when you're sitting there and then you ask what you think is a pretty straightforward question, only to not hear anything in response. And there's, of course, room for grace, because there's think time and process time. It's not like nobody's, you know, everybody that came tonight apparently is not prepared. And that's not, although you might be tempted to think, did everybody, yeah. No, it's all good. It's all good. There's going to be challenging weeks. We get that. But again, just that there would, that the time would be maximized. That's the point that I'm trying to make. And that will be, there will be a direct correlation to your commitment to studying God's word that is going to have a direct impact on the transparency of God's word helping you grow as a believer, right? Straight to the heart, and then having the opportunity to help others. Well, our time is disappearing fast. I want to get to the second element of care group that we want to cultivate, and it's this, accountability. Definition, according to Merriam-Webster, the quality or state of being accountable, especially an obligation or willingness to accept responsibility or to account for one's actions. As believers, we all know that we're accountable to God first. Romans 14:12 says, so each of us will give an account of himself to God. God has redeemed believers, and he has given us eternal life in Christ. While at the same time, he also desires for us to be good stewards of the life that he has given us, the spiritual life that he's given us. That's why Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17, call us to be good stewards of the time that we have, making the most of the days, because the days are evil, and that we're not to be foolish, but we're to understand what the will of the Lord is. In the following verses, God has described for us what the, after that, after verse 17, we start getting to verse 18, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then it describes for us what a picture of the Spirit-filled life looks like. I've mentioned this before, bears repeating, Ephesians 5:21, a description of what the believer's life is to look like, is to be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. That with that comes accountability. And there is a very practical reason for this that I have also mentioned before. Nobody is able to see their spiritual blind spots. That's why they're called blind spots, right? We can't see them. And sin has a blinding effect on our lives. And so when we share our sins and struggles with those in care group, God will use them to ask us how we're doing in certain areas when we seek their accountability. How's your marriage? How's your relationship with your parents? How is your purity? How are things going with your kids? We have the opportunity afforded to us through the Spirit-filled life to provide accountability. Allow me to ask you a very poignant question. What sin are you currently battling with the most right now? What sin are you currently, spiritually, in battle with the most right now? And who else in your group might be dealing with that same sin? And how are they finding victory? And how are they finding strength in that area? Now is the time to start the engine and to ask yourself, how can I be blessed with greater accountability as I consider the reality of care group starting back up? Summer's a long time. And sometimes the meetings and travel and, you know what, our care group, we haven't met, have we, Jonathan? You know, part of it was we were supposed to even have an end of the year event and fail, care group leader. We haven't connected. There's been some degree and there's been, you know, we see each other for fellowship on Sunday, but as it relates to being in the context, as it relates to the battle, you know, maybe you've experienced it a little bit of isolation. It's going to be good. And as you think about what your heart has been contending with the most, prepare now to bring that to bear when care group starts back up so that you can have accountability, that you can be blessed, build up. And again, I'm a member in a care group too, and I need the accountability of the men in my group. I do. And I'm very thankful for it. There's a third element of care group that we want to cultivate, and it is prayer. Definition, and I just did this for fun, just to see what the world has. Why I did, I don't know. I just wanted to see. But the first definition is an address as a petition to God or a God in word or thought. Set order of words used in praying, an earnest request or wish, the wish, the act, this is genie, the act or practice of praying to God or a God, a religious service consisting chiefly of prayers, number four, something prayed for, number five, a slight chance, that's like really the, that's a slight chance, haven't got a prayer. That is our world. That is their view of prayer. That's perfect. I think summarize it. And I shared it when we were talking about James the Less in the sermon just a couple weeks ago, right? You know, his utter dependency, and even our Lord's utter dependency upon the Father, as he walked, leaning on prayer. For us, it's a first resort. It's a starting place. It's not a last resort or an ending place. But I wanted to provide what I thought might be, maybe reflect more of a biblical definition. And this is what I came up with. Communication with God that reflects, and I used the Acts model, adoration, confession, thankfulness, and supplications stemming from a believer's heart and soul. Anybody else have a definition or something that they've heard as it's related to prayer that is a key feature? It is conversation with God, is interaction. But that was my best shot. And I'm thankful to be at a church where prayer is a ministry pillar for our church, yet I want to be a realist. Oftentimes we're inclined to applaud prayer. Yes, we need to pray more. And we're a fan of prayer, right? Yet when it comes to practice, when it comes to putting it into play into our lives, we can get caught up. There can be impediments. We can be reluctant to go to God and to practice it and cultivate it. And I know this is true in my own heart. You know, the sweetest seasons of my life spiritually are when my dependency in prayer is where it needs to be. It is. It's communion. It's connection. It's spirit filled. Prayer is the fuel for all ministry. Ministry to our own hearts and ministry to the hearts of others. And Jesus helped us to see how he made it a priority to pray and how he relied on the power of the Holy Spirit to guide his fellowship and communion with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. He discipled the 12 on how to pray when they came and they asked specifically. And in Matthew 6, he said and warned, he's like, don't get caught up in vain repetitions, right? But to pray from the heart and to ask our Heavenly Father for whatever it is that we need. And that might sound cliche, but it shouldn't. That we would fully be expressing our dependency upon God. And there's another very popular verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:13, I believe, or 18, I can't remember. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Yeah, it's a 17? Oh, okay. So, see? You know, where are the chew boys when you need them? Got it memorized. So, written to the church as a whole, that, now check this out, because this is so beautiful. That command is in the plural, to pray without ceasing. Because I talked about this even when we talked about the prayer pillar, you'd have to pray without sleeping if your prayer was to be unceasing. But it's written to the church, and that there would be this atmosphere in this dynamic of prayer within our church. Now check this out, because this is so realistic for even a church our size, that throughout the day, that there would always be at least one person in our church that is communing with God in prayer. Is that realistic? I'm telling you, it's more realistic than you know. It can happen. And we want to cultivate that. We want to stimulate that. We want to have the opportunity in our care groups to do that very thing. I still remember Pastor Marcus when he preached on Romans 12:12, to be devoted to God in prayer. He preached in Romans 12:10-13 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Wow. So we know the trials and the tribulation are coming. How do we make it through? Where is our starting and ending place? It's being devoted to prayer. Let us start praying about the start of care group. Let us even be praying about our prayerfulness. I know our prayer ministry even prays for the prayerfulness of us, our people. Even for me to be more prayerful, and I'm grateful for that. So grateful. Well, we have one fourth element, final element, and it is this: progress. Progress in discipleship relationships. Definition of the word progress: movement forward or toward a place. The process of improving or developing something over a period of time. You know, I love that first definition because it mentions a place. And this earth is not our home. And we are going to a holy place, to be in the presence of a holy God, a sanctified place, and that we want to progress and prepare to be in that place. Yeah, we're in our righteousness, we're covered by the precious blood of Christ, we're prepared to step into it. But as it relates to what we'll be doing and how we serve and how we love from a pure heart, we work towards that end right now, right? We progress in that reality. Pastor Kurt Gebhardt, when he taught, you remember at the retreat, not this last year, but the year before, we had our banners there. And those who were there with us at the time, you'll recall what he said. And those that weren't there, I'm going to go ahead and tell you. But he said, yes, one of these banners is the most significant. And He asked, do you remember that? And he said, do you know which one it is? And you know, what did he say? Which one was? Progressing. And I was like, time out. Hold up, Kurt. You know, I wasn't going to stop him right in the middle. But I was just like certainly praising God with passion. I was like, that is it. We're created to glorify God. Revelation 4:11, right? I was like, that has to be it. That's priority number one. But then he went on and he explained something. It was such a blessing. So thankful for his mentoring and discipleship in my life. He didn't downplay the significance of these other things. But he said that they should be progressing. That there should be development and moving forward as we're preaching and teaching the word and growing in our capacity, even as a disciple, to share God's word. That we should continue to progress and allowing our hearts to be more worshipful as we grow and mature, that we progress also in prayerfulness. And so, practically and logistically, what will all this look like in each care group? I haven't been in another care group, so I really don't know what goes on there. I've heard some pretty crazy stuff, though. Now, I know that there's a level of focus, and as we've even had a chance to meet as care group leaders, talking about that reality, but there's a certain level of freedom, and the care group leaders know this, that they have, as it relates to structuring the time. And we just want, as we make progress, we just want to make sure that these essential elements are all being brought to bear on the group. Does that make sense? I mean, is anyone saying, you know what, I really don't want that transparency part? Or I really don't want the prayer part? No, these are things spiritually that we long for. This is something that we desire. And so it might be that over the course of time that you spent in care group, that maybe there are elements that are lacking. Maybe prayer and accountability is lacking in your care group. Maybe the study of God's word isn't getting the attention that it needs. We want to be mindful of these essential elements. And so you may have already noticed, and those who are my acronym folks, there's a way that we can remember so it's transparency, accountability, prayer, and progress. Tap, right? So as you tap into your heart, as you prepare your heart for care group, as you literally ask God and you're transparent before the Lord and week to week, and you want to get ready and you want to make the time count, we want to make it count. That we would be mindful of these things. That I would be asking myself those questions before I step into my care group meeting on a Thursday or a Friday and ask myself, how transparent am I ready to be? How accountable and how am I pursuing accountability in my life? How prayerful have I been for my care group and for my own heart, just as it relates to the ministry making progress? That's also related to the last P. That would all be for the sake of progress each and every week as the Lord faithfully leads us. Ladies and gentlemen, start your engines. Start your engines. Next week, I want to have an opportunity, and we'll see what the Lord opens up, but may have another session just to talk about some additional things that we can bring to bear as it relates to care group. But we finished 5 minutes early.